Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Going Greyhounds. With all the news from kennels and courses around the country, here's Mark Duclos.
And this man takes us right around the country. It's like the Leyland brothers on four legs. The Duke, how are you, mate?
You're not wrong, Cozzy. Very good morning to you. Morning, listeners. Welcome along to Going Greyhounds. It's Monday, the 7th day of November. Cozzy, we've got a massive program today. We're going to speak with Michael Floyd from the Sandown Park Greyhound Club. We'll talk with Darren Russell and Tony Brett, two Queensland trainers who journeyed down to Sandown Park last Friday night for the last of the preludes, and they returned home with the cash. We'll also speak with Anthony Azzopardi, who prepares one of Australia's best, if not the best sprinter at the moment, in Zambora Brockie, who took out the Group 2 shootout on Friday night. And we'll also catch up with the New South Wales State Opposition leader, Luke Foley, ahead of a very, very important by-election at Orange, which comes up on the weekend. But let's take a look at the latest results. And as I said, on Friday evening, a Group 2 shootout, Zambora Brockie, absolutely brilliant, bounced to the lead, and he defeated Outside Pass, Dundee Osprey and Wormburn in the Four Dog Field there, $50,000 to the winner. Also run on the night, as I was saying, with a number of preludes, the last opportunity for greyhounds to race at Sandown Park prior to the heats this week. And I never thought I'd say that there was track bias on a greyhound track, but
gee,
that's what happened last Friday night, Cozzy. I've never experienced wind of the weather type as what I have experienced at Sandown Park on Friday night. It was a howling wind down the home straight, so they had a massive tailwind. They raced into that headwind down the back straight, but it basically meant if you could lead to the top turn, you were literally shanghaied into the home straight by the wind. And I think only one dog came from further back than third on the night to actually get up and score. So it was a big night as far as leaders were concerned, and that's all that punters were looking to do. So, you know, when you look at the look at this form guide from last Friday night, you must take into account the wind that was there. Mm. And as I said, it's very, very rare for a track, particularly a greyhound track, to have any sort of bias. But that's what the case was. And we're shaping up. We've got a super carnival coming up. And Thursday night, or Friday night, I should say, kicked off the Superdogs carnival there. And we go into the Group 1 Melbourne Cup heats this Friday night, along with the Bowl Tree seats. And then on Friday, November the 18th, the world's richest greyhound race, and that is the Group 1 Melbourne Cup with $420,000 to the winner. The media manager from Sandown Park joins us now, and that is Michael Floyd. Good morning, Michael.
G'day, Duke.
Big night on Friday night, bigger night even coming up this week with the heats of the Melbourne Cup and also the Bowl Trees.
Exciting time to be in Melbourne, even if it is a little bit windy. But no, last night was a fantastic entree to a big two East coming up. The Melbourne Cup Series is always it's always an exciting time. But I think this year is going to be a vintage edition. Just looking at some of the greyhounds that have already qualified, it's going to be a fantastic night of racing.
It's going to be hard for a lot of these greyhounds that are on the fringe to actually get a start in the heats. We've got eight heats. So the best 64 greyhounds go through. We've had 20 preludes conducted. What's the format as far as greyhounds being eligible and greyhounds as far as preference is concerned?
Yeah, so basically every greyhound that wins an exemption race, so a Group 1 sprint around the country or a Victorian Country Cup other than Hillsville, or a group race here at Sandown Park are exempted straight through with all prelude winners. So that gives you around about 30 greyhounds most years. The other 34 or so spots are allocated to greyhounds that firstly have run a prelude. Secondly, the prelude form is weighted quite heavily, although greyhounds that have won or been placed at group level in the state are also bumped up the list there. So basically, if you're not exempted straight through, as long as you run a prelude, it comes down to the best greyhounds nominated after that.
Friday night, the wind was it's something I'd never seen before at Sandown Park.
We've had a few nights like that of late, but yeah, it was a nice warm day, and unfortunately the wind kicked up for us just before. We had a maximum wind gust just before the shootout was run, actually. It ran about 50k an hour, so she was pretty blowing and got cool towards the end of the night, but the dogs got around safely. It was a really good night of racing. The times were quick, and Zambora Brockie was brilliant in the shootout.
He sure was. We'll speak with Anthony Azzopardi in a few minutes' time. Nominations, Michael, when do they close for both the Melbourne Cup and also the Group 1 Bowl Trees?
Yeah, the Bowl Trees is, of course, the other feature on the night. The nominations close at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning with GRV. Depending on how many nominations we get, we've already got 53 dogs nominated, so the nomination numbers will be enormous, plus 20 for the Bold Trees, which is a really good sign. Depending on how many nominations and how quickly we get the process through, we hope to have fields out early in the afternoon, but we'll see. It's a very in-depth and a lot of things are discussed when it comes down to it. We want to make sure we get the best 64, so with the process will take as long as it'll need, and hopefully we'll have fields early tomorrow afternoon.
Cup night on Friday, November the 18th at Sandown Park, one of the great nights of greyhound racing. If someone's looking to head down to Sandown Park, are there tickets still available in the dining sections?
Yeah, you've got to be real quick, though. There's actually a waiting list already in place, but if you're real quick, you might be able to sneak in. Otherwise, give us a call. If you do want to come down for the night, there's plenty of food and drink options inside and out, and enjoy the great night. It's free entry. There's so many things going on. Greyhound racing is obviously the highlight, but there's that much happening in between races and off the track that it's a fantastic night of entertainment. So if you're in the area, make sure you head along.
Yep, and as I said, it really should be on any Greyhound fan's bucket list to get to a Melbourne Cup night. That's Friday, November the 18th. Michael, we'll chat with you next week after the heats have been run.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Mick Floyd there from Sandown Park. And well, as I said, it was a big night for the Queenslanders. We're used to them beating New South Wales at rugby league, and they've done so a couple of years in the past. But on Friday evening, a team of trainers went down there, predominantly Darren Russell and also Tony Brett. And Darren Russell joins us on Going Greyhounds this morning. Morning, Daz.
Morning, Mark.
Tripham, a greyhound, I think, who's got under the guard of a lot of people, but not so yourself, because you told me after the race he always goes very well at a track first up, and he's really just stepping up. Each time you put him around and put him around against better dogs, he steps up to the mark, and he did that on Friday night when he won a prelude in 29.33.
Yeah, he went enormous, mate. He's just starting to mature, I think. He's just turned 2.5, so, yeah, all going good.
Now, you are known as Group 2 Darren and Monday Night King at Albion Park. Talking about Tripham, he's owned by a lady by the name of Margaret Dwyer at Casino. And you go back through his form just in recent times, took out the Group 2 Lismore Cup, took out the Young Guns, took out the Ipswich Derby. He's had 41 starts, a track record holder at Casino over the 411 metres.
Yeah.
It must be a tough task, but because Sandown Park on Friday night was the first time you've really campaigned him outside of that southeast Queensland, Northern Rivers area of New South Wales. How tough is it? Is he good? He's obviously travelled well down there. It took nothing out of him on Friday night.
We went to Townsville earlier in the year, travelled enormous, nearly broke the track record first up there. So, yeah, there was no qualms of going down to race the better dogs or interstate.
And again, Sandown Park, it's a tricky track for a number of dogs first up. The grill sizes of the boxes are a little bit different, the track configuration, all that sort of thing. It certainly augurs well for him, mate, this Friday night in the heats of the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, it does. Hopefully we can draw an entire box. I actually thought he'd come up with the lids a little bit the other day and still ran 5.01 the mark, so hopefully he'd come out, he can take 5 the mark.
Well, early speed in races like that is absolutely critical. You look at his record, he's had 41 starts, 18 wins, 11 minor placings. He's a typical collision dog, isn't he? And he just chases and chases. He is a very, very hard chaser. And you look at his record and it's evident of what he can do, I guess.
Yeah, it is, mate. He's got early speed. That's the whole key to it. That's what wins the big races, early speed. You can't be coming from last. He's half brother, which was Farmer's Gold. He was probably as fast as the worst box dog in the world.
Where do you rate Tripham as far as the greyhounds you've prepared, Daz? Where do you put him in the whole mix of things?
I'd be pretty close to the top. I had another dog called Interstate Jet, but he was injury prone. We had Tears of Jupiter years ago. She won 4 group races, so he's got a little way to go yet.
Friday night, box draw wise, what are you hoping for, inside or outside?
1, 2, or 3, mate. Well, the wind was blowing that hard the other night. I reckon the outside dogs wouldn't even have heard the door coming to boxes.
It was strange conditions is probably the best way to put it, wasn't it?
It was. I've never raced in anything like that before. It was blowing at least 50 miles an hour.
Yeah. Now, I know you fancy a bet. tab.com.au, they've got a market open on the Melbourne Cup, the all-in market, and Tripham is not quoted at the moment. So maybe if you give the boys a ring there, I know you're racing for 420 large if he wins the final, but knowing you, I know you fancy a little flutter here and there.
Oh, well, surely he's got to be 201, hasn't he?
A typical Queenslander. Mate, best of luck. As I said, he raced terrific on Friday night, and good luck moving forward into the heats this Friday night.
Righto, Mark. Thanks very much.
Group 2, Darren there. Darren Russell joins us from Queensland. Now let's head to Mooney on in Victoria, and I can tell you this man was probably the most relieved trainer at Sandown Park on Friday night, and I speak of Anthony Azzopardi, who prepared Sambora Brocky to win the Group 2 shootout. Good morning, Ant.
Good morning, mate. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I could see on Friday night after Brocky had won the shootout that there was a weight that was seemingly lifted off your shoulders, because for the past couple of weeks, I've spoken to you a number of times, and I got the impression that you're sort of doubting yourself as far as not the dog is concerned, but whether or not you'd done the right thing. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yeah, it would be a fair assumption. You know, every time he steps out, you know, everyone's got a high expectation on him, you know. It's like, they get pretty disappointed when they see him lose, you know, and they're sort of getting it to me a little bit because things weren't going right, you know. But I knew the dog was there, you know. He just needed that little bit of luck. And a week before the shootout, I knew he was spot on, you know.
Well, you returned him in the Group 1 Sky Racing Top Gun. It was a heavy night there. It's a heavy track, I should say, at the Meadows. It was raining. He had box six. He began well, but then struck trouble, let it develop, cleaned him up, and the eventual winner, Dundee Osprey, also gave him a touch-up at the first turn. And the problem with him prior to that, Ant, with 5 weeks off the track, he'd had a small fibular injury. Tell us what you've had to do to get him back to his best, because that's where he is at the moment.
Yeah, look, when he went around the Shepparton, you know, he never finished it off real well, and we found him real crook in the fibula. I got an x-ray done on it. He didn't have a fracture or anything. It was just really badly strained. And we just had to nurse him, you know. And one of those injuries, got to run him through it a bit too. Like, we couldn't just let him sit because it doesn't heal as good. So it was sort of, you know, giving him light work and keep working on it, machining it and doing all different stuff on it. And, yeah, mate, it took a while to get there, but it's right now, you know.
Thursday week ago, he had box one. The track was off. He ran 29.40, and all the smarties wanted to tell me that the track was probably 0.2 off, which in hindsight would have meant he was running around 29.20. He ran up to that on Friday night in the Group 2 shootout, bounced out, ran 5.03 to the first mark, which is near enough to his best there. He then rattled home. He ran 29.17, and as we've discussed earlier with Darren and also Mick Floyd, the track, the wind conditions, it was favourable in the home straight. It wasn't favourable in the back straight. How did he pull up after that gallop?
Yeah, he pulled up really good. You know, and next morning he was bouncing. Yeah, so, no, the run never took much out of him at all.
This Friday night, we've got heats of the Group 1 Melbourne Cup, and he will more than likely start favourite in whichever heat he goes around in, irrespective of the box that he's drawn. How far forward are you looking with him, Ant? Because I imagine now that he's won two Group 1s, he's won three Group 2s, he's won a drink under $420,000 in prize money, 27 wins, 44 starts. Surely the phone's starting to ring now as far as using him as a stud dog is concerned.
Yeah, no, look, I'm getting a lot of huge support for his stud for him when he retires. But, look, I'd just like to he'll get through the Melbourne Cup, hopefully. You know, like, it's going to be a hard race to make it. Like, it's just one of them hard series. But if he happens to make that, I'll move on to the Ballarat Cup. And from there on, I'll probably, yeah, we'll talk to Charlie and we might even end of the year, I'll say we'll pull the pin, you know.
You have, or Charlie Azzopardi, who's no relation to you, but a terrific bloke, and I know he got an enormous thrill out of Friday night. He was actually trackside at Sandown Park to watch Brocky go around. You've refused some very, very big money for this greyhound in the past.
Yeah, we have, you know. Charlie has, and, you know, Charlie didn't want to steal a dog because he supports me, you know. Like, he's a great supporter of my kennel, and he's a top mate. He deserves every success he gets because, you know, he's there 7 days a week at his farm. He's got a heap of pups. It costs him a lot of money, you know. And him to get a good dog like this, it's pretty hard to sell and let go, you know. And he asked me, he said, look, he said, this offer's big. I said, mate, you do what you got to do. If you want to sell him, you sell him, you know? And he said, you know what? He said, I'm having too much fun. I'm not going to sell this one. So he didn't sell him, you know? And it's paid off for him too, you know? So he's, you know, he wouldn't have enjoyed it as what he's doing now.
Yeah, money's one thing, but to have a Group 1 winning greyhound is totally different. And knowing Charlie, as you and I both do, he was quite happy with the $3 that they bet on Friday night about Brockie.
Yeah, he was happy.
And good luck moving forward, as I say, into the heats this Friday night. What about the rest of the team? Ultimate Magic on the sidelines won't go around?
No, he won't go around, unfortunately. He's on the back. He's coming back nice now, but I'm just going to give him a good spell. He's been up for a while. He's been a great dog for me. So, yeah, he'll be, I don't know, say about another 4 or 5 weeks off the sideline. The others are right. You know, they haven't got lost there, first-timers, but, you know, they'll improve next week and they should benefit off the run from last week anyway.
And Marbo's Magic, he's off the scene as well. He injured himself?
Yeah, he done a metacarpal. He's got a plate in there now, so he's off for about 3 months, but he'll come back a good dog, and he's another one. He's been up for a while, so they're having a bit of a spell, and next year we'll bring him back and we'll see what happens.
All right. Best of luck with Brockie this Friday night, mate.
Thanks, Mark.
Anthony has a party there. We head from Mernie on in Victoria to Queensland. Tony Brett, Queensland's leading trainer, joins us on Going Greyhounds. Tone, I was saying earlier, it was a night out for the Sunshine State boys.
Yeah, it was, Mark. We had a great night. I was sitting with Darren Russell with Trippum and dabbed on Ferrari, got up in the first, and then Trippum, and later in the night, Split Image and an outside pass. Mate, she ran a great race in the shootout. If she could have just probably a quarter of a length the whole Brockie, the finish might have been different there. So, mate, we come home with our head held high, and we're looking forward to getting back down and having a crack at the cup this week.
I want to talk about Split Image. Again, I think she's a greyhound that's probably underrated, Tony. I mean, she's made a number of group finals. She dead heat it with Power to Avoid to win the Group 2 Vince Curry Memorial Maiden at a third race start back in February this year. Has she got under your guard a little bit as far as her constant improvement is concerned? Because to win first up at Sandown is a very, very big effort.
Yeah, it is, Duke. And mate, it's probably not so much under the guard. It's just that her brother's sort of probably hogged all the limelight 30 talks. And, mate, two out, there's no doubt that he's a lot faster dog than her, but there's more to racing than how fast you are, mate. She's just so consistent, and she just backs that up week in, week out. And I just, mate, she probably wasn't on the radar to come down for the cup. We were going to target the Ipswich Cup with her, and as it turns out this year, we still can if she didn't happen to get through. But yeah, after a run at Lismore, run at third in the cup there, and like you said, she broke a record in Townsville. She's run second in the Queensland Futurity up here. She just has never let me down. So I thought, well, yeah, you deserve your chance. And mate, she had a bit of luck the other night that Daly's dog was probably going to get it coming to the home turn, but he gave her a hip and shoulder. And to her credit, mate,
she was just as tough, mate, yeah.
He gave it back just as hard, mate, and he lost his ground. So and she kept on kicking, and that's just that's just the type of dog she is. She's just a great little dog, and she's earned a spot there.
And her early pace is really what sets her up, Tony. We saw that on Friday night where she bounced out. She had box five. She did have a vacant box inside her, but she still led at that first turn, ran 5.08 to the first mark. And again, it's, you know, different boxes, different conditions. I thought she was terrific.
Yeah, Mark, it is. Mate, it's never easy to travel and win races, and you're heading down to a different kennel and certainly a different climate at this time of the year. And like you said, she was down, and mate, she didn't really ping. She jumped nice, but she didn't ping. She can get out a lot better than that, I think, and hopefully with that look at the boxes, she can. I mean, I've got no doubt that she can run as good a section as Abdon Ferrari and get down into around the 5 second mark. And like you said, mate, that's going to put you up the front where you need to be in them heats next week. They're going to be do or die. There's just some fantastic dogs getting around at the moment.
Yep, you've got to run in that 5.0s to lead at the first turn. And one of those dogs that did was Abdon Ferrari for you on Friday evening. He bounced out from box two, ran 5.03 to the first mark. But I guess the most pleasing aspect of Abdon Ferrari's win was the time he clocked 29.32.
Yeah, it was, Mark. We He just handled it lovely. And like you said, you just never know. It can go two ways. They can miss a start and get barreled, and I come home with my tail between my legs. But it's nice when you back him up and you've with a bit of confidence, and he did. He came out and he raced with confidence, and he actually ran a quicker back section than Zambora Brocky on the night. And he probably just lacks a little bit at the finish compared to like a Zambora Brocky or an outside pass, but his first two sections, he can really rattle them off. And that's where you can get those sort of dogs off the bit. And if you're running 29.30, you're hard to run down. So, no, mate, he's a real contender for sure.
Tone, I guess you went down there thinking that possibly your best chance was 30 Talks, a little brother to a split image. He was absolutely barreled at that first turn. He drew box six, and you've had no luck with box draws with him. He's drawn box six at his last three starts. I think he's drawn box six in six of his last 10. He's only ever drawn inside box number three on seven occasions in 28 starts. You'd certainly be hoping for a change of luck in the box draws for the heats this Friday night.
Yeah, Mark, we keep saying it's got to come. He's got to draw a box. And, mate, that, unfortunately, as it's gone on with sort of drawing out wide, he's changed. He's, I don't know whether it's a confidence thing or what, because he used to come out okay and charge on, whereas now he's sort of tending to have a look at where he wants to go, and he's missing it a little bit and happy to sort of, yeah, and all it's doing is finding him trouble, Mark. And like I said, time-wise, I've got no doubt. If he lobbed on the bunny there, he's a 29.10, 29.20 dog without an ounce of doubt. But he's got to get himself into that position. And the box draws are one thing we can't control. So he's a bit frustrating, Mark. He trialled the record over the 420 at Lismore the week before we left. So I was going down nice and confident. He's really feeling really good. And like you said, to get cleaned up at the first turn and still not be up in the leading brigade, it's a bit frustrating. But I'll nom him again for the cup heats, and hopefully he makes the 64. And like I said, a box two would be lovely or something like that, because he just needs a bit of room to move, and he can run the dog.
How'd he pull up after Friday night, Tony? Because as I said, they got to the first turn and he literally was the meat in the sandwich. His back legs went down and that was the end of his race.
Yeah, Duke, he's a little bit sore in a hip, but, mate, nothing worse than if he was playing front row for for the Australian in the league comp. Yeah, they always pull up with a little sore spots. And so we work on that during the week and just freshen them up. And it's nothing major at all. He'll be fine for Thursday night, and the rest is up to him.
All right. Best of luck this week, mate. Group 1 Melbourne Cup heats. Friday night, you've got Split Image. You'll have Zabden Ferrari and hopefully 30 Talks, who's currently $81 with tab.com.au fixed odds in the all-in markets. Thanks for joining us this morning on Going Greyhounds, Tony Brett.
Pleasure, Mark.
All right, we have got a very, very crucial by-election coming up in the Central West District of Orange this weekend. Joining us online, he's always very kind with his time on Going Greyhounds. An avid greyhound fan, I must say now, and a big fan of Wormburner, is the New South Wales State Opposition Leader, Luke Foley. Good morning, Luke.
G'day, Mark.
Your favourite dog didn't have much luck on Friday night at Sandown Park in the shootout, Wormburner.
No, slow out of the boxes.
Let's hope that the Labor candidate is not slow out of the boxes this weekend in the Orange by-election. You and I were both in the area Thursday week ago. We were at the Fair Go function. You just couldn't miss the signs that were plastered all over the area, which was basically "Put Nats Last."
Yeah, we were there, Mark. And just thank you to Sandra and Chris Spratt for putting such a terrific night together to raise money for the greyhound industry and the legal case. I've always said that this is the safest of safe National Party seats. They don't come any safer than Orange. But I've always said we'd need a miracle to win it. That's still the position, and perhaps we need a big miracle now that the government's capitulated on the greyhound ban. But for me, this was always about contesting the greyhound ban and council mergers. And I look back and say with some pride that if we hadn't entered this contest in Orange 3 months ago and thrown down the gauntlet to the government, I think we'd still have a greyhound ban in force today.
Do you think this? I know that, you know, we all know that they've reversed the ban at this point in time, and I'll ask you about repealing the legislation in just a moment, but Do you think there's still an undercurrent of distrust amongst regional and country areas when it comes to the National Party?
Yeah, I do. There's certainly discontent. I was in Molong last week and did a town hall meeting there, and their rural local council is being swallowed up by a big council in Orange City, a big regional city. So it's not simply about the greyhound ban, but certainly participants in greyhound racing, and there's a great many in the Central West, and I've been to a meeting at the Bathurst Greyhound Racing Club. They are very distrustful of this government and its motivations, and I don't want to see a situation where this Saturday, because they've backed down on the ban, the Nationals have a comfortable win in Orange and then think they can go back to doing whatever they like. And I don't want to see a situation, Mark, where the threat of a ban still hangs over the heads of people in greyhound racing. I won't stand for that.
And that's the situation we're in at the moment, isn't it, Luke?
Yeah, I just posed the question, why is it that it was so urgent to sit the Parliament to 4 a.m. to pass the greyhound ban, but now the Premier and Deputy Premier tell us, well, we can repeal it at leisure. We'll get round to that next year. I've got a bill before the Parliament. I'm hoping to speak to it this Thursday. I will speak to it unless the government plays silly buggers. And I'd like to see the Parliament this year before we get up. We've got two more sitting weeks, this week and next, repeal the ban so no one in the industry has to worry over Christmas and New Year or after the Orange by-election that the government or their officials might come back with the threat that they will proceed with the ban unless the greyhound industry capitulates to government demands about what the industry will look like in the future.
Okay, we've got a fair few starters in the Orange by-election this weekend. Give a plug for your Labor candidate.
Yeah, Bernard Fitzsimons, the Labor candidate, but certainly the message I've been putting, Mark, is whatever you do, number or squares, put the Nationals last if you're angry about the greyhound ban. Teach them a lesson, punish them. If you're a lifelong National Party voter, you've never done anything else, just this once, have a look at Labor. If that's a bridge too far for you, have a look at the Independents. There's a couple of them, the Shooters and Fishers Party, the Christian Democratic Party. There's a rich menu to choose from. I think in the end, the Nationals deserve to be cut down to size. They've taken this community and regional constituents and supporters, traditional supporters, for granted, I think. And exhibit one there is banning greyhound racing. They deserve an uppercut for that this Saturday.
Yeah. Luke Foley, thanks for joining us. And hopefully we'll catch up on a greyhound track soon.
Terrific. Thanks, Mark. I look forward to it.
Good on you. New South Wales State Opposition Leader Luke Foley there. And as I said, this Orange by-election on the weekend is extremely crucial. And it's crucial to the greyhound industry and to a lot of regional and country people out there in the Central West. In the latest news, Cozzy, before we go, the New Zealand sprint champ Swimming Goat is back on track. He won his semi-final of the Group 1 Galaxy in a best of day 16.96 last week. He's drawn box 5 in Thursday's final, which is race 7 at Addington, and it's run at 6:04 p.m. Sydney time. American Warrior will be one of the favourites for the Group 1 New Zealand Cup, also run on the same card. This greyhound's a half-brother to the 2015 Shepparton Cup winner, Azza, and he ran 29.91 to set the time standard. He'll start from box 8 in the final. You can watch both of those races on Sky Racing 2 this Thursday evening. Don't forget Group 1 Melbourne Cup and Group 1 Bowl Tree Seats this Friday night at Sandown Park. Tomorrow night, The Catching Pen, 6:30 p.m. on Sky Racing 2 in our form preview program at the Boxes. Wednesday night, 6 p.m. on Sky Racing 2. It's going to be a massive week again in greyhound racing.
Good on you, Duke. We'll catch you then.
Thanks, Cozzy.